Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dentzel. What a weekend. I was up there in Clearwater, Florida, up at the Cliff Stevens Disc Golf Course Saturday and yesterday to do some spotting on hole 16 for the disc golf tournament that was there. It was being run by my good friend Cameron, and there were over 100 players there, both men and women. And on 16, if you don't know, has a lot of water there, so you need somebody there, and it's a huge long hole. The hole is about 400 and, well, if it's from the short pads, it's about 413 feet, and from the long pads, it plays like 450 feet, and there's no way most players can get the whole way across the water, so they have to kind of lay up to the side of the water and then throw another shot to get near the basket. But a lot of the players do go in the water, and you need somewhere to need somebody to mark the place where the disc went in, because that's what they're going to be taking their next shot with a stroke penalty. And then if some of the discs can be gotten out of the water, you need somebody there to try to get them out. I didn't go in the water. They do have people that go in the water. I didn't go in the water, but I brought my pole with me, extension pole that I have, and it's about 22 feet long. And so I could get at least some of the discs for some of the players and give it right back to them once the disc goes in the water. If that can't happen, then they just have to wait till later when somebody goes in and gets the discs out. So I was there all day. I got there about 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Was there till, I don't know, 6:30, something like that. And I got a little playing in actually between the rounds. I took a break, and I actually went out and had my bag there and threw some of the, I want to get to that in a moment. And then yesterday, I got there about 8:30, and there was only one round yesterday. I don't know what time I got out of there. It seems like it was 1:30, something like that. I think they teed off at 9:30 and was over by 1:30 or 2 o'clock, something like that. They didn't play 18 holes. It was 25 holes because there's 24 holes there, and they set up an additional one, a temporary one, so it was 25. So it takes a while, but it was a beautiful weekend, although it did rain a little bit on Saturday. I had my umbrella, no big deal. Just beautiful. I had my chair, had a cooler, just taking it easy. And a lot of guys that I knew were playing, so I talked to them, and other guys running the tournament, of course, I knew. So it was a really kind of a relaxing weekend, and it was good to volunteer and help my buddy Cameron out. Now, this coming weekend, I'll actually be playing. Now, this coming weekend, the better players will be playing. The pro divisions, advanced divisions, I'm playing in advanced. And so I'll be playing. So hopefully I won't go in the water this coming weekend. But this weekend, yesterday morning, before the third round started, I was out there throwing a little bit just to loosen up. And once again, knowing that I have to play the course next weekend, had my longest throw on flat ground yesterday morning. And I'm 46 years old, and I've been playing for about 5 years. So I'm only getting older. Longest throw, about 415 feet. On that hole that I was spotting on, the short pad, like I said, is like 413 feet. And from that pad, I threw the disc right to the side of the basket, a couple feet further than, just right, about 10 feet to the right of the basket, about 2 feet past. And so that basket is the hole's 413 feet, and I threw it right to the basket and a little farther. 400, right around there, 413, 415 feet. Easily the longest shot I've ever thrown. Most of it over water. Felt great, and playing the best disc golf I've ever played in my life. So it was a good weekend. Kind of feeling it today, being that I was sitting out in the sun, although I was in the shade, but kind of felt it a little bit this morning. But it was good to be out there. This practice that I did was good, seeing everybody. It was really, really a nice weekend. So I hope you had a nice weekend, too. Let's get to the program. Where do I want to start off first? I guess the French election. They had this runoff. A bunch of people, including Marie Le Pen, were running to see who is going to become next president of France. And I don't know if one of these people had gotten 50%. You know, we just had this election last week in Georgia, where we had John Ossoff, the Democrat, running against all those Republicans. And if he had gotten 50%, he would have been put in as the representative from that district. He didn't get that. He only got to about 48%. And so there has to be a runoff between him and the Republican who got the next highest amount, who was, her last name's Handel, H-A-N-D-E-L. I don't know. Is that the way it would have been in this French election? Had one of these people gotten 50%, would that a person just become president? Probably, right? I'm thinking that's the case. I don't know the exact specifics. But they had a wide range of people over the French political spectrum, I guess, running. And the two people who got the highest vote were Emmanuel Macron, M-A-C-R-O-N. I have no idea how you say it in French. Anne-Marie Le Pen, a name that's probably, I'm going to guess there's probably more Americans that know her than actually know who actually the president of France is. Because she has been around for a long time. Her family, I think it was her, was it her father, was in French politics going way back. And, you know, it's easy for, I think, many people in the United States to hear Marine Le Pen talk and think that she's some kind of conservative, mainly because she talks about immigration and protecting French borders and all of that. And I think that last year when she had her visibility had been raised, that, you know, there were people talking about her, Sarah Palin speaking nice things about her, Donald Trump saying nice things about her. In fact, he did so this weekend while this election was happening. And you have to remember, though, she is not a conservative. There were no conservatives running in France. And in fact, I don't know how many real conservatives there are in French at all. There's probably like 10 of them or something like that, at least the way we define it in the United States. And that's something that I like to remind all of you once in a while, is that this brand of political ideology in the United States that we call conservatism is rare in the world. It's, of course, not rare in the United States, but if you go to the rest of the world and you start talking to people about how the government shouldn't be involved in healthcare and entitlements are wrong and we need to roll back regulation, everything, you're not going to have many takers in many other countries at all. I'm not saying there aren't a few people in some of these different countries, but they have no political power whatsoever. Zero. And I mean that even when countries that are very much like ours, like England or Australia, or maybe we're very familiar with Canada, and I think your average American knows, at least your average conservative realizes, that whatever they call conservatism in their country of Canada is not like our conservatism. It's just not. It's just not. And so we as conservatives in the United States, we have to realize that we may be a majority in the United States. Maybe. I don't know. I know a lot of people call themselves conservative. I don't know how conservative many of them are. But we are surely surrounded by our enemies in the world. We are a small, small percentage of the world population. I'm not sure we appreciate that. And I think that's one of the reasons the world is the way it is. That you just have a bunch of socialists in all these countries. Are they like the Soviet Union? No. Is it like Iran or is it like North Korea? Are these countries like China? No. But really, these countries, even though they may be allies of ours, they probably share a lot more in common, at least economically, with those countries I just named than with our ideas in the United States. They may be on our side when it comes to the press and freedom of religion and some of those things. But economically, they are exactly the opposite of us. exactly the opposite. And we have to keep that in mind. So getting back into Marine Le Pen, she is one of those types that in a few areas she touches upon the ideas of your average American conservative. Other than that, she has nothing in common with us. Absolutely zero. Zero. And just have to keep that in mind. And that's why I think when this was happening last year and some of these conservatives were saying nice things about her, I said, you know, this doesn't have to be done. First, if it's wrong, and it doesn't have to be done. And I'm not sure that that's the best idea. You're sending conservatives in the United States the wrong message when prominent conservatives send a shout out to somebody like Marie Le Pen. When the truth is that I'm not sure any of these people who were running this weekend can fix France's problems, because really, France as a whole just has the wrong idea about most things. I think that in the United States, we have a much wider range of political ideologies that can sway people. And I mean, hey, we go from Ronald Reagan to Bush 41 to Clinton to George W. Bush to Barack Obama to Donald Trump. Even before that, Jimmy Carter. I mean, that's a wide array. You're getting a little bit of a sampling of all sorts of ideologies and the way countries can be run in all of those guys. Whereas, yes, you have different political parties in France, and they do differ, but it's surely not the range of differences that we have in the United States. And mostly they're wrong. I mean, Marie Le Pen may be right about what France needs to do about its immigration, but she's wrong on most things, as are most of the political parties and political leaders in France. And so you get what you get. It's not unusual to hear about truck drivers in France just parking their rigs in the highway so the roads can be blocked. And they get away with it. That is not something that would be done in the United States. There is a Federation of Truckers. There are some unions and things. But that would not happen in the United States. Where you might have it in the public sector where teachers go on strike. But to have private individuals and private jobs in private companies going on strike and blocking up roadways and things, I'm not saying it's never happened in the United States, but it's fairly very uncommon. In France, that's just like the thing to do. And these people don't mind if they're inconveniencing their fellow Frenchmen and French women. We just handle things a little bit different in the United States. I guess that's just one example, that was about wages or about regulations, it's a strike for more government interference, not less. So, getting back to this election, I just don't know if France is really going to change that much at all. Now, of these two people, who is going to win? I have to believe that Macron is going to win, if that's how you pronounce his name. That's the way you'd say it in English. I have to believe that he's going to win, but maybe France is going to go the way the United States did, that they're going to embrace something different. I think it's safe to say that given what's gone on in France, that Macron would be closer to the status quo of what they've been doing than Marie Le Pen. But once again, she's not that different overall. We'll just have to see. Either way, I don't know if terrorism is going to cease or become rarer in France. Because that's what it seems like that is the big deal in this election. I don't know if there's a lot of economic issues on the ballot here. I think that this is just, for example, is Marie Le Pen, if she were leading France, would she ever try to head up some drive to exit France from the European Union? Maybe. Maybe not. But I don't think that that's something that the French people are for. In fact, it seems like the entire rest of the European Union, at least when Britain did it, or has done it, it's pretty clear that not many of these other countries are thinking about doing something like that. So what can she do if she were to become president of France? I don't know. But they're going to give it a shot. They're going to give it a shot. What's most important for you to know on this America's Conservative podcast is that don't be fooled by what she says. She's not a conservative, and we should not look at what she's doing and take cues from it. Just like here in the United States, we should not be looking at Donald Trump and getting any cues from what he says and what he's done to think that, oh, that's conservative. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. He strays into something, then he strays away from it. I don't know. But I don't think in the end, I think this is something that's overhyped. I don't know how much of a difference either one of these people, Marie Le Pen or Emmanuel Macron, I don't know how much difference it's going to make either way. Because they're about the same on 80% of the way they think. And the big issue is immigration. But is reading this, and I'm just getting this from the Telegraph, is that it seems the way that Marie Le Pen is going to try to attack Macron is forcing him to defend the status quo in France. Other than what she wants to do, and she's a hard nationalist and all of that. And of course, some people would say that she's to the point of being a racist and maybe anti-Semite, the rest of it. Other than that, I'm not sure these two are that much different. So I don't know how much she's going to be able to attack him in that way. We'll just have to watch and see. This stuff is an American. You know, it's hard to understand it because, you could say that our last, if you want to go this far, I guess you could say this. I still continue to insist that there isn't that much difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, would Hillary Clinton have nominated Neil Gorsuch? No. She wouldn't have. But I think on a lot of other things that are going to happen in the 4 years, you could say that given that Hillary Clinton could have been president, not much of it's going to change. Does anybody really believe that the VA is going to change? Really? I don't know. I'm still not convinced of that. Yes, we got a Supreme Court justice out of it, but Obamacare's still here. And we know it would stick around. It would have stuck around if Hillary Clinton had become president. Just hard to say. So it's almost, to me, as a guy who stayed out of the last election, I look at this French election that's going to be upcoming between these two very much like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It's just not going to be, there's not much of a stark contrast between them. Certainly not as stark a contrast as between Reagan and Carter. Certainly not as stark a contrast between even Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, you could say. Not as stark a contrast between Bush 41 and Bill Clinton. Certainly not as stark as that. Whereas I think in 2016, we had two people running who probably couldn't have run in any other year, who couldn't have won under any other circumstances. And it shouldn't surprise us the kind of they were the same in many ways with Donald Trump being a Democrat much of his life. So in that way, the French election is very much like what we just had. So we'll see what happens. Let's move on to something else. Donald Trump had a conversation with both President Xi Jinping of China and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe of Japan about this North Korean situation. And you should know that I think that it's official that the Carl Vinson carrier group is now in the vicinity of North Korea. And it seems that, and I'm for this, and you know that I will give Donald Trump an applause once in a while if he does something right, that I'm hoping that these conversations with these two other leaders were helpful. And I'm hoping that Japan and China, who probably get along a lot worse than we probably realize, and they have history going back, you know, because of World War II and Japan invading China, and, you know, there's a lot of things that still, you know, make people feel very negatively, even if they weren't even alive during World War II, to feel negatively about each country, that hopefully that Donald Trump can get these leaders together and their countries together to try to figure out a solution. And I'm hoping, of course, that South Korea is going to be mixed in there as well. I still believe this is the way it needs to be done. It's just, how much is China going to allow, you know, what's it going to allow the United States to do? What's going to allow Japan to do? And does China want to have anything to do with any of it? As has been stated before, the big issue, I think, for China is not that it particularly loves North Korea. But what North Korea, what China doesn't want is its entire eastern border to be dominated by a couple countries that are friendly in the United States. So it already has South Korea there. And you get the feeling that China doesn't want North Korea to turn into South Korea, where that's just a little too much for the Chinese. And I'm not sure that that's what we as the United States really want. I don't know, you know, whenever North Korea started to really, really be a problem, maybe in the Bill Clinton years, I'm not sure that we as the United States, we've ever wanted North Korea to be South Korea. I don't know if George W. Bush wanted North Korea to be South Korea if it were to change. What we want, what we would like, is a situation where that country isn't a hermit kingdom that seems like it can do anything from day to day, and that it has control of nuclear weapons that it can just shoot off whenever it wants. And it's a country that sinks South Korean ships and takes South Koreans, you know, goes into South Korea and kidnaps people. That's what we don't want. Or even goes in, I mean, there are even stories of North Korean agents being in Japan and kidnapping people. That's what we don't want. We're perfectly fine, I think, if North Korea were to turn into a version of China. I think we could be happy about that. I think that if any president is trying to make the push that North Korea needs to change and it needs to become some democratic republic with a Bill of Rights and everything, I think that's going too far for both the Chinese and the Russians who are on the northern border. I don't think that they're going to like that very much. Even though to us, it doesn't seem like a big deal. To them, it does. So I'm hoping somewhere in there we can have some sort of compromise if this is to go the right way, because I think that's the only way it's going to get fixed. I think that if we tell China, well, the only way we're going to be happy is if North Korea ends up looking like Australia, then they're going to say, well, we're just happy then to keep North Korea the way it is. I think that that's where China is. You know, it's You know, and speaking of Australia, if you don't know, North Korea actually threatened Australia this past weekend, and Australia isn't that far from North Korea. I mean, Australia is far from everything, but it's certainly closer than the United States is to North Korea. But North Korea has threatened to bomb Australia, and I couldn't help but think, and I love Australia, I love Australians, don't get me wrong, but I did have this thought that, you know, if they, you know, there was this line in Diamonds Are Forever, the James Bond movie, where Blofeld is showing James Bond where this satellite is with this laser on it that can destroy anything from space, and it just happens to be when they're talking that the satellite is over the state of Kansas, and Blofeld something, well, we could destroy Kansas, but the world, the rest of the world might not find out about it for a while. That's kind of the thought that came to my mind when North Korea, when I heard that North Korea has threatened Australia. I was like, well, they may bomb Australia into oblivion, but the rest of the world might not know about it for a while. And of course, that's not, but it's just something that came to mind. Me, because Australia is so isolated in the world, and to fly there, it seems like anywhere else in the world, it takes like forever to get there. And of course, that way, and New Zealand as well, that if something did happen, it would take a while for everybody else to figure out. And it's also interesting to me, as this stuff, it seems like it's ramping up. Maybe it's just hype. We can't just tell. I don't know if all of this, if we'll know that all of this North Korea talk is hype or not until something happens. Because everybody's been talking about North Korea for a while now. Haven't been doing much about it. There's been thoughts, and every once in a while North Korea shoots off a couple rockets, and then that gets them back in the news. And in that way, North Korea is no different than the Kardashians. I think it looks at the world news and says, hey, we haven't been in the world news for all. We got to do something. So they shoot off a rocket, and then everybody's talking about them again. Same way with Kim Kardashian. She goes through TMZ and People magazine, and she feels like she hasn't been mentioned there recently. What she do? She goes walking on the nude on the beach somewhere and gets her, herself back in the news. She's a news hound. She needs that attention. You know, you almost get that feeling with North Korea as well, that it needs the attention. So once in a while, it just does something: shoots off a nuclear test, shoots some missiles, kills the half brother of Kim Jong Un, just to keep people talking. So we're not going to know if any of this talk between Trump and these other leaders is hype or if it's something real until actually something happens. What that happening is, I don't know. Is it, the Chinese taking over that country? Is it cruise missiles being shot into North Korea? I hope that doesn't happen, but just saying, is it something that North Korea does that's fairly aggressive? Instead of shooting them into the ocean, they shoot missiles into South Korea or something like that. I don't know. This much may be much ado about nothing. It may be 2 months from now that North Korea's out of the news. Kim Jong-un's still there, and things are happening as they usually are, but nothing's happening. And it may be that Carl Vinson hangs out in the Sea of Japan for a month, and then it just leaves, and everything cools down again. So I don't think that we should be too expectant that something big is going to happen. I happen to believe right at this second that I would be very, very, very surprised if Kim Jong-un isn't in power a year from now. I think he'll still be there. I think North Korea will still be just about what it is a year from now. On the other hand, everybody was saying that about the Soviet Union, then suddenly, boop, wasn't there anymore. Everybody was saying that about the Berlin Wall. East Germany, West Germany, always going to be divided. And one day, the wall fell. Maybe that's the way it'll be with North Korea. And this saga that we've had with North Korea will end with a whimper, instead of a bang, just like the Soviet Union ended without a missile or a bullet being shot, just like those Eastern Bloc countries got their freedom without a bullet being shot, and the Berlin Wall fell, and nobody else needed to die trying to escape from East Germany into West Germany. We can only hope that it could be that easy, but we'll just have to see. I got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. Let's move on to something else. Was it Paul Dunn? I didn't catch who it was done by, but this story is out there in a variety of locations that a certain study, a poll was done recently, and if the election were to be held again between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, the consensus is that Trump still would win, just like he did back in November, although he lost the popular vote, that he won where it counted, and that's in the Electoral College. Why? Because states elect the president. People do not. Citizens do not elect the president of the United States. States do. And that's the way we do it. And that keeps state sovereignty as an important. Remember, we're not America. We're the United States of America. Each state is an individual, and all 50 of them are united to be a country. We're not like France or England or Germany, that they may have divisions and everything, but we have a very unique situation. And you know, when you look at the country of France or Germany, a regular map, it's not those countries are not divided up. Although they may have little different sections and things, they are just one country: France, Germany, Italy. Whereas, if you look at a map, you look at a globe or a map of the world, and you look at the United States, even though the USA is a country, those maps break down all 50 states. Any map you look at is going, unless it's some sort of topography map or something, it's going to be broken up, and you're going to see each individual state, and each state is going to have a name on it. Florida, Pennsylvania, Texas, California, Kansas, Alaska, Hawaii. You don't see that in these other countries. And I just wonder how often that we forget that. And I thought I'd insert that in talking here about, you know, this poll regarding Trump versus Clinton and what would happen now. Doesn't surprise me that Trump would beat Clinton. And Hillary Clinton, I mean, there was a story at redstate.com, and you should know while I was working this disc golf tournament this past weekend, I did have my phone there, and I was reading news, sports news. I was listening to some sports radio, and I saw this story. Somebody once again did a story about why Hillary Clinton lost. And there's this book that I had also mentioned maybe last week or the week before called Shattered, about the inside news of the Hillary Clinton campaign. And it doesn't portray the Hillary campaign as being the most sophisticated, the wisest, the smartest, or anything else. It made a lot of mistakes. But you can't fix the main problem. And the problem was that Hillary Clinton was just a bad candidate. I don't think she's just a bad person. She was a bad candidate. And that is something that is hard to forget. And I think that it's not long enough. I think this poll being done is a little too soon. I'm going to guess, since I believe that most polling organizations lean liberal anyway, that this company was hoping to do this to show that Americans, after a few months, have realized that they've made a mistake and that Hillary Clinton should have been president, and what Trump has done, he's embarrassed the United States. You know, now people finally woke up 6 months later to see that Hillary was certainly the best candidate. That's not happened. That has not happened. Even though the way they do this polling, it's just a the polling is not done electorally. It's done individually, and as we know, individuals don't pick the president. So even Hillary could still poll better in one of this poll, for example, and say she'd get 48% of the vote and Trump would only get 45% of the vote. But it matters where those votes are, as she herself found out back in November. So even if you were to have some polling out there now saying that Clinton would be a better president and people regret their votes, you're not even sure that would be enough to turn the tide. It all depends where these people get to vote. If it's in some urban area, well, she's already winning the urban areas across the United States. The problem she had was she couldn't get enough votes outside of those areas to make herself competitive in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in Wisconsin. And there was a real good, was this at redstate.com? I forget where it was, but somebody broke down the votes that she got in some of these states, Pennsylvania and Michigan. She ran well behind Barack Obama. And in those places, Donald Trump only got a little bit more than what Mitt Romney got. I mean, in the end, I think somebody's figured out, even though Donald Trump won the Electoral College, got 320-some of the electoral vote, he only got like 300-some thousand more of votes than Mitt Romney did. It's just that the votes were divided up or were spread out in a different pattern. Somewhere Mitt Romney is killing himself right now, just thinking, I only got 300-some thousand votes less than Donald Trump, and I didn't smell the presidency. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton got more votes in the traditional Democrat states, but in these states that are a little not quite as blue, like Pennsylvania, that has had a Republican governor recently and still has at least one Republican senator, she just couldn't do as well. Same way with Michigan, same way with Wisconsin. You look at these states that have had recent Republicans in high-profile positions, and those are the states she had problems in, whereas Barack Obama did not. And even though she got more votes than Barack Obama did in 2012, she just got them in the wrong places. And that's where this number, I think 165,000, keeps popping up, that she got 165,000 votes between three states would have gone the opposite direction. She's president out of a country where 135 million votes or something like that were cast. That's how close this election was. So don't let Donald Trump fool you, him saying it was a landslide. It wasn't. It was very, very, very close. So the polls say that Trump would still win, and so there's that side of it. But on the other side, I guess you could say, well, yeah, those polls also said that Hillary Clinton was going to win in November, and she didn't. Well, this poll is saying that Donald Trump would still win. Well, how do we know they aren't wrong now? We just don't know. It doesn't surprise me that this was the result, but you just never know. Just like in Brexit, everybody was convinced, oh, Britain's certainly going to stay in the EU. Nope, didn't happen. Certainly Marie Le Pen certainly isn't going to get, come in second in this French election. That's what she did. You just don't know. And I would say that about any of this polling, anything that you see, whether you like it or not. You know me. I didn't want Donald Trump to be president. I don't like him being president. I didn't want Hillary Clinton to be president. So in any of this news that ever comes out from now on, once they put Hillary Clinton to the side, I'm sure. Here's something I'm sure of. A year from now, they're still going to be doing polling of how Hillary Clinton polls against Donald Trump. I think that's still going to be going on because it makes for interesting news. But at some point, they'll cast her to the side and they'll start looking at the prospects for 2020. Who's going to run? Is it going to be Andrew Cuomo or whoever else against Donald Trump? And then that'll pop up. And I think those polls will just probably be as accurate or as inaccurate as any you've recently seen. And we're not going to know what's going to happen until the election actually occurs. And that's why, you know, the guy, what's his name, I forget off the top of my head, that runs the 538 blog. I think that he, along with a lot of these people, their credibility has been greatly diminished in the last, 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure they know what they're talking about at all. Now, they'll look back at it now and say, oh, and don't get me wrong. I followed that guy, went to his blog, read what he had to say about what was going to happen in the election, knowing that I was going to lose either way. But the truth is, he was wrong. 80% chance that Hillary was going to win? Nope. And so I think there's a lot of revisionist history going on in polling right now. These companies trying to stay afloat, saying, oh, well, we got it right. I think more and more that with people not answering cell phones and people lying both ways, Trump voters, there's more, I guess, modest Trump voters not wanting to let anybody know that they're Trump voters, saying, oh, yeah, I'm voting for Hillary. And then the Hillary voters maybe being overly dramatic about how much they support her, and then some of them don't even show up. It can throw off, it just can so easily throw off what these polling companies do. But they need to make money, so they're going to continue to try to say that, oh, no, we looking back at our facts and figures, oh, this election was perfectly predictable. And it's a little, frankly, it's a little embarrassing. So, but this is going to continue. They're going to continue to try to undermine Trump's win. I think that he won fair and square, as fair as you can get in a country of 330 million people, adults and children. I think he won fair and square. I do believe there were illegal votes out there, but I think that Trump won. I believe he won the Electoral College. Doesn't make me feel any better about the situation, though. But that's it's news that's out there. Let's move on to something else. Tucker Carlson is going to be taking the place of Bill O'Reilly on Fox at 8 o'clock. And we're going to see how he will do. When he took over for Megyn Kelly, the ratings allegedly went up, if we are to believe that. Or they didn't tank as much as everybody thought, and that allowed a lot of Megyn Kelly haters to say, see, she wasn't as popular, she wasn't as well-liked as everybody thought, and, it gave everybody all over the political spectrum a lot to brag about, just however you want to look at what the Nielsen ratings did after Megyn Kelly left. I have nothing against Tucker Carlson. To me, though, I have to admit, even though he goes way back to the Crossfire days, it seems, on CNN, it seems like he's been around forever, even though he's only a couple years older than I am. He's always been kind of an also-ran to me, kind of like a B-class or C-class type of conservative. I'm just being honest. I always have thought that Kevin Williamson, Jonah Goldberg, some of those people that just happened to be at National Review, Peter Robinson, people like that, were always in more of the A-class, prime-class, first-class conservative ranks than Tucker Carlson. However, I will say that I think that he is more traditionally conservative than Bill O'Reilly was, even though that both of them kissed Donald Trump's butt way too much, in my opinion. And so, the idea is, what kind of show is he going to have? And you'd hope, given that he's a conservative and he's getting this very prime spot on Fox News, that he would start off his first episode, first program, with some considerable conservative people on there, thinkers, speakers, cover some tough stories and everything else. Nope. And I wonder, I hate to say this, even though I'm not really a Fox News fan, I go to foxnews.com, but I haven't watched Fox News, the channel, in a long time. You know who his first guest is going to be? And I worry that this is the way that Fox News is going to go with all of this. Caitlyn Jenner is going to be on his first program. I think it's tonight, April 24th, 2017. Caitlyn Jenner. If you don't know who she is, she used to have another first name, Bruce Jenner. So Tucker Carlson, conservative, political pundit, conservative writer, cares about the political issues and everything else. He's going to have Caitlyn Jenner on his first official program in Bill O'Reilly's spot on Fox News. I've been complaining about conservative media and what's been going on for a long time. I started this actually, I think when I really, really started it, probably October, November 2015. I think that's when I really started to see how many of these people who led the conservative movement for a long time were going to get on board with Donald Trump. That's really, really when I started. So it's been about a year and a half. This is a continuation of that. Tucker Carlson would have the opportunity, given that this is what's going on, he has an opportunity to have anybody on his program. He could have Paul Ryan. He could have Mitch McConnell. He could have a governor. He could have one of the prime candidate members, Jeff Sessions. Any of these people on to because there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this. And out of all of that, he's picking somebody from the tabloids. So, what they're going to talk about, I don't know. He's going to have on Caitlyn Jenner. Is this Fox News jumping the shark finally? If you don't know where that saying came from, it comes from a Happy Days episode, and I think it was the last season. When it got to the point, you know, usually that show was just, they're either at Ralph's, or is it Al's? Al's. Restaurant there, that was one of the sets, or they were at the Cunningham House. Those were the two sets, pretty much, and then maybe once in a while they went to Fonzie's. Suddenly you had Fonzie water skiing somewhere, and there's a ramp, and there's a shark in the water, and he jumps it. And that is now a very famous saying in entertainment, that when Fonzie jumped the shark, that's when we knew Happy Days was over. It just got too wacky, weird, just way off of what that program had been in the 70s into the early 80s. And frankly, given that all those actors were getting older and everything, it was probably time to end the show anyway. But they didn't have to end it that way with Fonzie jumping water skiing. I mean, something that when the show started in whatever year, 1974, 75, had they said that you're going to do an episode where Fonzie was water skiing and jumps a shark, all the actors and the directors of the show at the time would have said, oh, would never do that. But they were doing it 7 years later. So getting back to Fox News, had they been, 10 years ago, If they had said, you know what, in 2017, you wouldn't have to give all the details. Bill O'Reilly isn't going to be doing a show anymore, and this guy Tucker Carlson is going to take his place. And you're going to have a very the first guest on this program in primetime by Tucker Carlson, who's known for his conservative politics. His first guest is going to be a very famous athlete. Now, of course, you wouldn't know it at the time, 10 years ago, 2007. Wouldn't name the name. A very famous athlete who had a sex change. That's going to be his first guest. I'm sure every producer, director, higher up at Fox News 10 years ago would have said, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. I mean, 8 p.m. prime slot, Bill O'Reilly was a political show, and Tucker Carlson, obviously, is a political pundit. He's going to be on there. We would surely have somebody from the political sphere, a writer, a congressman, a senator, a governor, heck, the president of the United States, whoever that ends up being. No, would never have some athlete who had a sex change operation on the first episode of a political program. Well, guess what, Fox News? You're doing it. And, you know, when I think about stories like this, I wonder if people really take a look at their lives that way, that they work themselves into situations that it seems perfectly normal now, but 10 years ago they would have said, well, that's crazy. And not crazy good, but crazy bad. Of course, the most best example I can ever give is people who work at the EPA and go out and find people $35,000 a day. I still say to this day that if you could get time travel and go back to whenever these people went to college and you found them in a dorm somewhere and said, hey, I'm from the future. 20 years from now, you're going to be working for the EPA and you're going to be finding people $35,000 a day. They're not going to be able to get a lawyer. They're not going to be able to challenge this in court. And you're doing this just because they threw some dirt into a pond on their own property. That person, most of them, I'd like to think, would say, I'd never do that. That sounds crazy. But they end up doing it. And that's what I think of when I think of Tucker Carlson having a conversation with Caitlyn Jenner. Yes, yes, I know. I know enough about what's going on in the world to know that Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce, sees himself as being a conservative. Well, there's a lot of conservatives out there. And I think it's pretty obvious that the only reason that Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, is going to be on that program is because of the freakishness of it. It's the only reason. They're not going to have an in-depth conversation about world events. They're not going to be, you know, Bruce Jenner is just an athlete, was just an athlete like anybody else, no matter what his gender is. And all of these people have political ideas, whether leftist or rightist or atheist or Christian or, you know, whatever their ideology is that they follow. And it's just a coincidence that Tucker Carlson happens to pick the person who went through a sex change. I don't think that that is a coincidence. So they're doing it for ratings. They're not doing it based on fact or truth or news or anything else. They're doing it for the entertainment. They're doing it for the wow factor. They're doing it to be outrageous or whatever else. And it's the kind of stuff that I hate. Whatever that is, whatever you think of Tucker Carlson getting Bruce Jenner to go on there, that is the opposite of who I am as a person. It's the opposite of what I do on this program. It is the opposite of what I do with my other show, Unfound, which is a serious news program about missing people. It's just kind of the opposite of the way I am. And I have to tell you, I'm very proud of that. I think this is embarrassing for Tucker Carlson. It's embarrassing for Bruce Jenner. It's embarrassing for Fox News. And I think they'll get less viewers over time because of stuff like this. But I gotta go. You can find me at edwarddensel.com. You can find this program Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. Eastern in the United States on the Prime Channel on RedStateTalkRadio.com. My other program, Unfound, find it at Podomatic and iTunes. Had another record-breaking weekend for that program. It's doing very, very well. Very happy about that. The Disappearance of Shannon Turner is this week. And I got to go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.